Hello everyone, I'm Louis Vargas, and you're listening to episode 43 of the Art Scene Podcast. Today's guest is Rio Yanez. This is Rio's second time on the pod, and some of you may remember him from episode 24, where we discussed his background and the annual Dia de los Muertos exhibition he co-curated with his father, Rene Yanez, at Soma Arts. For this episode, Rio's back to discuss two new projects. The first is an exhibition he curated at the Thatcher Gallery on USF's campus. Titled Studio Misión, The Artist Studio as Medium by Rene Yanez, the exhibition offers a look into the world and creative process of his father, Rene, especially during the final years of his life. Then we discuss this year's Dia de los Muertos show, titled City of Souls, which Rio curated with Carolina Quintanilla. Now, before I play my conversation with Rio, I wanted to plug a few exhibitions happening in the Bay Area. The first is a solo exhibition of work by Delphine Hermeli over at Part 2 Gallery in Oakland, titled Wandering Players. The show runs till November 1st. At the Berkeley Art Museum, a new show titled The San Quentin Project, Nigel Poor and the Man of San Quentin in State Prison, is on view, featuring visual documents, photographs from the prison's archives, and episodes of the podcast Ear Hustle. It will be on view till November 17th. Then at the Museum of African Diaspora is Africa State of Mind, a touring exhibition, the only U.S. presentation, in fact, which explores the work of an emerging generation of photographers from across the African continent. I have one more plug, except this time it's outside of the Bay in Rochester, New York. I recently did a podcast discussing a biennial out of the region titled Current Scene, which is dedicated to supporting small and mid-sized art venues who are committed to advancing the region's art community. Check out the past episode to learn more about it from its organizer, Blue Cease, the executive director of the Rochester Contemporary Art Center, or visit their website at www.currentscene.org. The biennial runs through November 17th. All right, now here's my conversation with Rio. I mentioned last time we met that I would love to have you back on, and here we are.
It's great to be here. Thanks for having me back.
Sure. I think it's been a couple years since I had last had you on the podcast.
I want to say 2017.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I think I must have been in like the first year still of the podcast, but. Tell me what's been going on with you. I know there's been a lot of new things going on and a lot of changes.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I've certainly done, since we last talked, a lot of work as a curator. And a lot of that has been guided by unfortunately, by the death of my father, who was my primary kind of creative collaborator and curatorial collaborator. He passed away from complications due to cancer in 2018. And so a lot of the work I've done has been kind of around his legacy and kind of picking up the threads of projects he had started. Planning Stages was when he kind of entered the hospital, and he never left. He passed away about 2 weeks after that. So I was approached by USF about kind of what to do, you know, like they wanted to do something to kind of honor his work.
Sure. That was really cool. They still wanted to still do it, like even after they wouldn't directly be working with him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was really interesting. I mean, he, you know, my dad, Rene Yanez, was a curator, but also kind of, I tend to think of him kind of like as a mad scientist. Like he was a very, very prolific artist. He would just go home and just kind of work on his sketchbooks, and he would, an illustrator, a collage artist, kind of a mix. He did a lot of mixed media collages, and especially, you know, in the last two or three years of his life, where he was very kind of aware and conscious of his own mortality, just kind of became very motivated to create more and more work, and was very prolific. So that show is just a collection of mostly his recent work done in the last 2 years. And
It's titled Studio Misión, right? The artist studio as a medium.
That's correct.
And the 100% of the focus is on him and his work, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So most of it, I mean, the kind of the rock of the show, the anchor of the show, are his sketchbooks. And, you know, he would go home at the end of every day. He was still working. He worked at Somart here in San Francisco. He'd go home, drink a cup of coffee, smoke a joint, and just work in his sketchbooks. And so when he passed away and I was, you know, just going through his collection, his archive of work, I mean, it was just, you know, close to 100 like sketchbooks of, you know, very, like, some of them had a few pages filled in, some were filled cover to cover.
And, sure.
You know, I just felt that there was like something really special there. It was work that not a lot of people had seen.
Sure.
So it ended up being kind of this great thing that fell into my lap, and I thought the best way to kind of honor his work and honor his presence in the community was to kind of finally share a lot of that work.
And have you ever curated anything of his work? Because I know you've co-curated with him at and stuff, but
no, I've never curated his work at, as it were, especially not in, like, as a him as a solo artist and a visual artist.
Sure.
And, you know, I mean, it was interesting because I look at half the work on the wall and think he probably would have been mad at me that it was being shown, like,
sure.
You know, like, he was always very particular about his own work, or very, very specific in terms of his own vision. And, I think, you know, it was definitely an opportunity that I didn't want to miss to get a lot of those
sure.
pieces out there. But, yeah, I think, you know, in curating his work and assembling and going through, like, you know, hundreds if not thousands of works that he had on hand, it was just, you know, yeah, it was kind of funny to reflect, like, oh, I don't know if he'd want this out there, but it's too good to pass up.
Sure.
So,
what was, like, the main message you wanted people to get out of what you were showing, what you curated of, like, his work? Like, what was it something that you, when I go to see it, what did you want me to get out of it?
I mean, it's interesting because he, you know, it was in, all of this work was done in the last couple years of his life when his cancer had become terminal and had reached a certain point, and he was also, you know, on a lot of medications. He was doing chemotherapy every other day, you know. He was just under, I think, just a lot of different and new influences, you know, at that time. Just both the medication, the kind of the self-awareness of his own life. And, you know, I think, and just the kind of the motivation just to produce work with what time he had left. And there's just a lot reflected of that. It's like a snapshot of that period of his life. Mm-hmm. One of the last kind of art practices that he had picked up and started was working with bleach. And I would buy him these sketchbooks and pads of black paper, and he would drip and get a paintbrush and kind of use bleach on that black paper. And it created this really beautiful sepia tone. And with that, he would kind of combine mixed media installations, collages. He would cut up his own work and collage it on there, use oil pastels. But something, I think, about that, the bleach on the black paper and that kind of rich kind of creamy sepia tone that it created, I think really was expressing something subconscious about where he was at in his life and kind of reflecting on just that very, very specific moment. And so you'll see a lot of those pieces there. And, you know, and it's kind of interesting, I think, in having to go through so much of his work and seeing all these different images, especially his collages. I mean, that's primarily what he was known for. And just really kind of, you know, as his son, there was probably no one closer to him that seen more of his work. But even I was kind of learning how to decipher still this, like, language of his art, of his collages and the tropes and,
right.
You know, these reoccurring faces and images that he would use in his collages and what they meant to him.
Yeah, because we forget sometimes, like an artist, like, you know, you can show your, like, oh, hey, son, look at this. Look what I just made, right? Like, oh, okay, cool. But, like, you're not in his headspace when he's making it. So there's still things probably that only he would know, right? Or understand, or, like, have the reasoning behind of what he did, right? Like, there's still things that you'd have to try and figure out.
Absolutely. And it's interesting to see, like, what he's carried with him, like, over the decades. Like, there are images that he would use in his collages that he probably cut out of, like, a fashion magazine in, like, 1983 that were still being used in 2018 in his collages, you know, and certain things kind of just became iconic to him, and, like, he would just kind of totally deconstruct and reconstruct those images over and over again, and until they were barely recognizable from the original source, but kind of like this, yeah, it's just like this whole, like, interpreting it through a whole other language that only he knew, and I'm still trying to study up on.
Like an archaeologist, really.
Yeah, but the work is just really beautiful and really intricate and really dense. And so I guess to kind of describe a lot of what his collages were, he would take these kind of like scrapbooking craft scissors, like scissors with kind of like the you know, circular edges things like that. And he would cut up his own drawings. He would cut up images from magazines and newspapers. He would take photographs and cut them up. I mean, really, like getting a digital camera is one of the things that just really transformed and changed his work, because he could take photos of his friends and of the neighborhood. He was living in the Mission, and just cut them up and just create these, like, really, really, like, dense collages. And there's just so much detail that he's packed in there. And often, like, the collages are, you know, they're clouds of smoke coming from a joint, or coffee being poured out of a cup, or, you know, they're, you know, they take on the shapes of different things. And I think really it's like, it's almost kind of like this explosion of the mind, you know, and like a mushroom cloud of images. And to a certain extent, they were all kind of autobiographical, excuse me. I mean, because they're images of his friends, images of the neighborhood, but it's also, you know, he was really involved in a lot of work around, like, gentrification in the Mission, of the murder of Alex Nieto and things like that. And so those were kind of frequent themes that would pop up in his work. And yeah, it was really, really interesting just to kind of see all that stuff at once. Because I think people who have seen his work, you know, they experience it one or two pieces at a time. But to really kind of see everything writ large and together, like, there's just really, you can see all these really fascinating patterns and kind of just how these ideas came to him in waves. And that was one of the things I was really hoping to get across with the show.
Well, and then you called it this title. Did you choose this title for the show?
No, that was actually a title that he chose.
Okay.
You know, there wasn't a whole lot done with the show prior to his death, but he definitely had a vision. Like, the idea was that, you know, the gallery was going to be his studio, and that he would just kind of sit there and create work, and the work would go on the walls, and he would kind of, over a period of time, populate this gallery with the work he was doing. To honor that spirit, though, we have a kind of mini art studio where we've purchased all of his art supplies, all the art supplies he would use to create his work. There's a drafting table, there's shelves with a bunch of supplies, and, you know, you're able to work with all of his materials that he produced. So you can go in there, and there's a wall where people can, you know, post their own work or take it with them. So we're really also hoping to just really inspire people and just give them space to create work in that spirit.
Yeah. Well, and I think that especially today in the Bay Area, that's, like, important, because I think that's one thing that's a struggle to keep these days is the studio, the artist being able to keep or find studio space, right?
Yeah.
And how important that is to, like, developing their work and their craft. And, you know, without it, you know, half the work really is making the work, but you need the space to have all the supplies to do it and to kind of experiment and toy around in there. And it sounds like that's what you're showing your father's side of what his process is a little bit, and the work that comes out of it. And how long is the show going on till?
The show will be up through November 4th.
How was working with USF? Because I didn't even know that they had a gallery until I heard about this show.
It was great. I mean, the staff there was really, really proactive, really helpful, really committed to realizing the show. You know, very different, you know, have seen a show go up inside a library, inside a college campus.
Sure.
You know, I would get there, you know, and I'd have supplies, so I'd have a backpack slung around my shoulder, but I am like at least 15 years older than most of the students there. So, you know, it was kind of an interesting experience. But it was really great. The exhibit was done in collaboration with the graphic design department there.
Oh, cool.
So I actually worked with the students in producing designs, both for like signage. There's a lot of infographics. There's a kind of a timeline of his kind of life, Rene's life and his creative works that the students designed. So it has a very interesting look to it. I mean, it's sure. definitely like a very design conscious show. And that's just a product of working with the students. And it was a really great process.
Yeah. Did you end up teaching them a few things and vice versa? Did they teach you a few things working with them?
Yeah. I mean, it was really interesting because I definitely had to give a lot of context to his work and explain his aesthetics. So my dad, as a curator, you know, one of the things he was known for is he curated Chicano and Chicano Visions, Chicano Now, the collection of Cheech Marin's Chicano art.
Right.
And my dad, if he can get away with not having white walls, he would get away with it. So for that show, he had a lot of like yellow, orange, a lot of earth tones. Like he wanted color on, like he wanted all the work on the walls to be framed by color. And so, you know, we were kind of limited to what we could do at USF in terms of the walls, but I really wanted to impart like a sense of his like palette, of his aesthetic, and kind of explaining where it came from. It was interesting. So shortly before he died, he did have another solo show of his work, and that was at the Luggage Store in San Francisco. And the show opened about 2 months before he passed away. So, you know, it was really interesting because the show itself was, you know, kind of enlargements of a lot of work that he had done, but it was very, very kind of formally done. They were all framed work. And in kind of trying to explain to the students, well, you know, he had this show, I was showing them images of the exhibit, and I was like, you know, the work was framed, but I felt it was like a very Mexican thing approach to it, because my dad, you know, was very informal when it came to hanging work and to the way he presented his own work. Like, he loved dollar store frames. Like, the amount of work that I found in, like, you know, dollar store frames and IKEA frames. Like, it was just, yeah. Like, he was very, like, he liked it, like, fast, quick, cheap, and just, like, sure. super accessible. But to explain, you know, that to the students there, that was, like, you know, it was the end of his life. You know, he wanted to do something very, like, formal. Like, he knew that this was probably going to be it.
Right.
And so all the work was very, very, like, just, like, exquisitely hung, framed, presented. But it was such a departure from his normal work. So
yeah.
It was just, like, you know, like, it just felt very Mexican to me, the way he, you know, knowing that it was probably his last show, and it was...
Then he dressed it up.
Yeah, he really dressed it up and trying to make a good impression.
Yeah.
But, you know, so for this show, like, I felt, you know, like, he had that moment, so I felt like I could just be a little bit looser, a little bit more informal, and just maybe a little bit more tactile with the work. There was just a lot of, I had to give a lot of context to his work and his approach to sure. things, just to kind of inform the design work sure. that they did.
Well, and how did they respond to even who your father was, like, because, like, your father is considered an important figure in the Chicano art history timeline, and especially here in the Bay Area. So I'm curious to know, because, you know, the Thatcher Gallery at USF is not S of MoMA. It's not like a major institution or gallery, right? It's a smaller space on a campus. So I'm curious what the reception was of the students, like, them learning, like, oh, I didn't, like, oh, this guy existed, or, like, or they already knew about him, and, you know, did they learn about him before, you know? Like, I wonder, did you ever get any vibe of that, or did anybody ask you
anything about it?
I think the biggest surprise for a lot of the students, just kind of observing people coming in, is that, you know, my dad's work looks very young and contemporary. Mm. Like, the collages look like something like a really hip 20-year-old, 20-something would do. Like, I did have a lot of his, I did a display of his Polaroids that he would draw, like, he would draw and collage on Polaroids that he would shoot. And it, I mean, it looks like something out of, like, a New York fashion magazine. And I think what was always interesting to see is that, you know, like, the students would make the connection that, like, all of this work was done by a man who was, like, 75 and 76 years old.
Yeah.
And, you know, but it looks like the work of someone, you know, 50 years younger than that.
Sure.
And I think that's been, like, the most interesting reaction to see, and, like, kind of that aha moment when they kind of make the connection that this old man on the wall, like, did all these, like, really brilliant works. Yeah. He was artworks on tortillas, artwork that's in 3D, and you put on 3D glasses and see everything kind of come out at you. And yeah, just these, like, really, really kind of contemporary, you know, collages and illustrations. It's, yeah, I think there it's definitely kind of shocking to a lot of people that someone, you know, just, you know, whose health was in decline, who was, you know, in their mid to late 70s would produce work like that.
Yeah. Do you think part of that is because he was so close to you and he, like, someone who was younger, and he always was collaborating with you, so he was always abreast of what was going on? And
yeah, I mean, I don't even think it was, well, it was me a little bit, but I think he,
it's all,
I mean,
him.
He just loved artists. Like, he, you know, he never just wanted to, like, rest on any sort of laurels. Like, he just loved artists and art, and wanted to know who all the young artists were, wanted to go to all the openings, wanted to see what people, you know, what his younger contemporaries were doing. And so he would always just be present. He would go to all the art openings. He would befriend all the young artists. So, you know, those artists who were 50 years younger than him were his peers. And so I think it definitely kept his aesthetic, you know, kind of young, kind of contemporary. And I think there's something to be said about being a stoner as well. That kind of, you know, like,
it kept his heart young.
It kept his heart and his mind and his soul young to a certain extent. Yeah.
Speaking of, like, how much he loves artists, you know, like, one of the shows that he started and continued to curate with you was the annual Dia de los Muertos show, which I assume he, another opportunity for him to meet young contemporary artists, right?
Absolutely.
And you're going to be curating it again this year, right? In October.
That's correct.
Yeah.
This year's show opens October 11th at SOMARTS in San Francisco. And yeah, it's, this would actually be the 20th anniversary of him curating the show.
Wow.
Had he been still around, or curating it at SOMARTS. He's actually been doing the show in some iteration and form since 1974. This is the 20th year of the exhibit at SOMARTS. And yeah, it's interesting. Like, I had said that this is, you know, the last year, especially the last year, but the last few years of just doing a lot of work around his legacy, and that's kind of become the, at least for now, kind of the thrust of the creative work I do. But this is kind of a sequel in spirit to a show, Day of the Dead show, that he'd curated at SOMARTS in 2001. And, you know, traditionally for our Day of the Dead show at SOMARTS, it's a very contemporary show. It's, you know, we are not afraid to kind of present very, like, abstract and conceptual pieces as altars. And I think there's a lot of creative freedom given to artists, and there's just a large diversity of artists and perspectives on what it means to honor the dead.
Sure.
And so previously, you know, we had created these, like, room-like structures that people could either walk into or kind of be immersed in a space, and they were altar installations. And this year we are, you know, this was originally what he wanted to do in 2018 before he passed away. He wanted to kind of throw it back to the show that he had done in 2001. And with that one, it was less on an emphasis on rooms and more of the space being a city. And what that meant was that he would create structures, like altars or structures to house altars in. But they look more like buildings than rooms. They were all constructed out of wood frames with translucent material covering them. So you could do all these really, really beautiful things with lights, and especially with projections, it would just be like light kind of blooming and spilling out. And it just looked really kind of like this magical environment that you would walk through and walk into these spaces and see altars. And so for this year, we're honoring that vision that he wanted to do in 2018 presenting it as with his title, City of Souls. And I'm really, really excited about it. It's going to look different than anything we've ever done before. Sure. And yeah, well, sure enough, we are creating like a small city in the gallery space. It's no longer rooms. It's just more like buildings.
And, that's really
and,
cool.
You know, houses and you know, spaces that people walk into, like a doorway, and they're just totally immersed in the structure. And there's art and there's altars and, you know, I think it's allowed for a lot of interesting experimentation by the artists in the exhibit.
And are you all set, like, in terms of getting all the artists so far that's going to participate in the show? Or are you still in the process of that, of doing that and conceptualizing?
No, we're all set. It's very exciting. You know, and it's interesting. With every show, there's kind of a reaction to what's going on in the world. A lot of kind of, you know, sometimes we put the artist call out. We know that something will come up that will kind of guide the show and guide the vision of the artists who create work. And we don't always know what it is when we start accepting work. But I mean, this year there's definitely just a lot of work kind of in reaction and kind of meditating on and honoring, you know, the people who have died in, you know, being detained by our government and, you know, Mexican and Central American immigrants being held at the border. And it's, you know, it's something that's kind of weighed heavy on a lot of the artists on the show, and that's definitely reflected in that. But it's also a lot of personal work as well. I think one of the great things about doing a Dia de los Muertos exhibit in the Bay Area is that there's so many now Day of the Dead shows,
yeah,
that there's a lot more leeway to be experimental, to be conceptual, to be political,
right,
to, you know, kind of break away from more traditional notions of what an altar is. And I think, you know, over the years, I mean, and it's really been, you know, this evolution that my dad started in the 70s, just, you know, getting to a point where they're, yeah, like we can get just like really, really experimental with what it means to have an altar, what it means to honor someone who's passed away, and
sure,
what it means to really just show, you know, what other how other cultures beyond Mexican and Mexican American cultures, you know, honor the dead.
Yeah, especially now, because like now Dia de los Muertos is, I mean, they even just made a movie, a Disney movie about it at this point, but like everyone kind of gets the basic concept now. So now it's like, now, all right, cool, you get what it is now. Let's like mix it up and let's take it another step of what we can do with this theme.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. And you know, this year there's kind of a really strong Filipino presence in the show. And so there's a piece about Mindanao, which is an indigenous, like it's an area in the Philippines, but there's a indigenous community that's kind of under attack by the government. Mm-hmm. The government is waging war on drug cartels, but it's had just kind of a devastating effect on the indigenous community there. And there's a lot of activism work around it. And so, in fact, Chris Lee, who is a Bay Area reporter and activist, was shot over there very recently. So there's an altar, you know, talking about those who have lost their lives doing activist work and political work and resistance work in the Philippines. And, you know, I think it is kind of this beautiful opportunity both to reflect but also to, you know, stir a lot of emotions, to make people angry, to make people hopeful, to make people, you know, motivated to spark change. And I think, you know, it's I guess part of my family's legacy is just to kind of really, really bring out a lot of the potential for what De Los Muertos means to a lot of people.
Sure. And so now, do you plan on keeping it going every year?
I mean, for me, it's year to year. I think it was really important for me to do it last year in just the wake of Renee's death. And, you know, this year is definitely about kind of fulfilling that vision that he had. Like, when he was in the hospital bed and, you know, we knew he was past a certain point, he had me taking notes about, you know,
he's like downloading information.
Yeah. And so, you know, even as he was dying in a hospital bed, like, he was telling me the title, telling me he wanted this way and he wanted this, you know. And, you know, so this year it's really been about kind of just honoring that final vision that he had. Next year, like, I feel like it's going to be, like, just totally untethered from all of that. So I'm hoping to do it at least one more year and just see what that means for me creatively.
Sure.
But yeah, I would say it's kind of year to year, but it's definitely my family's legacy. It's definitely something that is really kind of an important thing for me as kind of our that shows our love for both, you know, being Chicano, but also just for San Francisco and the Bay Area.
Yeah, and the last time I spoke to you when we talked about the show, I think your dad set it up too, where you don't have to always tether it to something, right? Like, the cool thing about that show is that you come up with a different theme each year. You have a different group of artists each year. It could be, and it's like cool that if it's completely different than the year before, right? And so, so that's the cool part about it, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, there's just so many variables, and it's fun to play with it. I mean, it's
sure.
You know, there's often a lot of kind of heavy things tied up in it, but it can be really playful and really interesting and very, very experimental. And I think that's what he and I were both really drawn to, is just like this chance, this opportunity to be just really experimental on a large scale by even having like these really weird, interesting structures and being able to experiment with lighting. The SOMARTS, where it's at, has this very theatrical lighting grid. And so it allows for us to do these just like really beautiful like lighting effects. And I think especially with working with all this translucent material in the show, it's just going to look very like otherworldly to walk through.
So after all that, we got the Thatcher show closes and then we got the Los Muertos shows closes. What's next for you? Like, what do you have any other like projects, like next projects you're thinking of? I know I saw something on social media, did something with the Great Tortilla Conspiracy recently. So I know you're still doing that work with that.
Yeah, you know, I'm still very much active with the Tortilla Art Collective that Renee and I were part of, the Great Tortilla Conspiracy, where we silkscreen our images onto tortillas, make them into quesadillas, and hand them out for people to eat. And it's a great way to do just a lot of irreverent work, a lot of political work. This past week, we're part of a fundraiser for the Coalition on Homelessness in San Francisco. And I mean, it's just a lot of fun. And it's, I don't know, I feel like there's something very subversive to create a piece of art and to have it be so ephemeral that you feed people with it. Like, there's, you know, if we do our job right, there's nothing really left over. You know, we put our artwork on it and then we just feed people with it.
Sure.
Yeah, but beyond that, you know, like a lot of the thrust of what I've been doing is mostly as a curator. I think the dream project that I'm working with a great team of people on is to get a book of my dad's work published at some point the next couple of years. And I would say the most creatively fulfilling personal project I've been doing lately is, believe it or not, Dungeons and Dragons.
Okay, let's do this.
Yeah, so, okay. When I was a kid, like in middle school, I was one of those like indoor recess kids.
Sure.
And like I played a lot of like D&D with, you know, I was like sixth, seventh grade. But as an adult now, like playing with artists, like you know, I'm part of a couple of groups, but we have, you know, in one group there's a filmmaker, a drag queen, a musician. In another group there's a dominatrix, and like there's so many, like as adults, like so many different interesting backgrounds that depend on creativity and like thought and context. Like it's just like this whole other world of like doing like creative work, and it's been really great, and it's allowed me to write. It's allowed me to kind of be almost like an actor or kind of like an improv theater kid, and that's really been like a really great, you know, creative outlet, especially in kind of processing the death of my dad.
Sure.
It's been really great to just kind of like nerd out and do something that feels really creative, but it's also a whole lot of fun. It's a game.
It's a game, yeah. Well, I'm glad I got you on. I mean, it's shorter than the last episode we did, but that's because we already know each other. So we don't have to go into what your background again. But love to have you on again. I mean, if you keep doing this, the Those Marshall Show, I'd love that, or any new show that you come up, I'd love to have you on again, and we'll talk about it. But thanks for sharing, man, everything behind the show at the Thatcher Gallery at USF, which, about your father's work and the upcoming show that I'm look forward to going.
All right. Well, thank you so much, and I'll see you on October 11th then.
All right, man. Thanks.
That's it for today, everyone. Thanks for listening, and thanks again to Rio for coming back on. Studio Mision, the artist studio as medium by Rene Yanez, runs through November 4th at the Thatcher Gallery at the University of San Francisco, so check it out. And City of Souls, this year's Dia de los Muertos show at Soma Arts, runs through November 8th. For more info on both shows, visit www.usfca/thatchergallery.edu. and www.somaarts.org, respectively. I'll have pictures up on the podcast website, so be sure to check it out there as well. Till next time, everyone.